You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. So, good morning to you from Jacksonville, North Carolina, the home of the storied 2nd Marine Division and of the Marines of the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force. Also the home of the longest operating USO in the world. Found that out yesterday. Yeah, met Chuck at the USO. How about that? And it's an old building. It's got an old gymnasium. You look at the size of gymnasiums. They were tiny. Yeah, I don't know. Courts were shorter. The game must have been really fast. Because they're tiny gymnasiums. But anyway. So we were there yesterday checking things out with our... with the All Marine Radio Taskmaster, Katie Beasley. And so, got around Jacksonville a little bit and then went over to the Base Theater, which is another little historical event. And now, when you go into those older buildings on bases, and... Camp Lejeune is one of those. You walk in the base theater and all the different Marines that have been in that theater, all the different Marine leaders that have spoken from that stage in that building. So there, for me anyway, I always have a sense of nostalgia for Marine history and the things that have gone on, the people that have sat in those sat in that building and then been told about some place they're going to go and what's expected of them. And so cool stuff. I love historical stuff. So, and then did post-traumatic winning for 3rd Battalion of the 2nd Marine Regiment. So did that and always enjoy it. And then always when afterwards when you talk to Marines, it's pretty cool. And then last night, did it again for spouses of the division, and You know, again, what's interesting, and I will tell you a trend in all of this, is spouses get it right away. You don't have to, I mean, they live it. They're the bumper, they're the shock absorber in the lives of a lot of male Marines, and what, 92% of the Marine Corps is male? And so, so they live it. And so it's very interesting, you know, the question and answers afterwards. You know, Marines, after they sit through it, they're like, I'm out of here. Spouses, after they sit through it, they're like, let's talk. So it's very different, and it's very interesting, very cool to hear their opinions on these issues, and so it's a very, 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 very cool to do. So so yeah. And then what's we're doing today? So we'll do it again today at 1:30 at the Base Theater, and then get ready for the big public event. Hopefully it'll be a big public event, but it's a public event that we will do tomorrow. And at the USO here in Jacksonville. So excited about doing that. And yeah, so that'll go on tomorrow evening, and then we'll do one more session with the division tomorrow afternoon. So looking forward to all of that here. And then on Thursday and Friday, we'll do it I'll do it at the Marine South Expo that comes to Camp Lejeune here this week. And so that'll be good. And then the spouses were asking about doing something, FaceTiming something, so more people could see it. And I said, "Hey, look, I'll do whatever it takes." So, more on that probably tomorrow. But you know, kind of something shorter and designed to stimulate interest and communicate the gist of it. And so maybe a round table after, like, so they're working on it. So I said, well, what would appeal to you? What would make sense to you? And so, anywho, so all of that going on. So a very good Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. The, you know, and always in the aftermath of doing this, the email that I receive is amazing, and yesterday was no exception. So, so yesterday was a pretty cool day. So people that heard it last week and over the weekend, you know, continue to react to it. And the only thing I'd say is, it's cool to be me, man. It's cool to be me. And that's one of my messages that I always, you know, I leave people with. You know, you could be as cool as me. All you have to do is download those 2 goals and 8 commandments onto your phone. And when you do that, you'll share it with somebody. And then you'll change somebody's life, I promise you. Because there's so many people, and yesterday was another example, so many people hurting with significant trauma in their life, and they don't talk about it. And we as a nation, we as a group of veterans, we as a community, we as a tribe, you know, we can do something about it. So that's the cool, you know, the empowering part of this, and the part that I really do love. Is how this all kind of comes together at the end of it, and challenges them to go out and save people, right? Go change people's lives. And so, probably my favorite part of the entire event is the end of it, where, you know, you look at them and say, hey, you could do this. And the people whose faces that have popped into your head as we've done this, tell them that you want to talk to them. I want to talk to you. So, anyway. So, it never gets old. Or at least not yet, that's for sure. So, let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to check news headlines. You're going to hear from Jeff Kenney. Jeff had a chance to, you know, see it in kind of a different way than he's ever seen it. So we'll get his thoughts on it here in a little bit. How about his story yesterday about how they got treated at Stanford coming back with a traumatic brain injury? He told me that the night before, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you were restrained and you couldn't leave the building and you couldn't walk across the street to the Fisher House to see other Marines? It's like, what the hell? And so, and then this story about Tim Maxwell. Could you imagine? I don't know if anybody who knows Tim Maxwell, but Max is he's a fierce-looking guy. And that was before he got his head, you know, wound. Now, at that time, I don't know how long his hair is now, but at that time, you know, he got it high and tight, right, with all the scars showing. Got his whole Frankenstein look going on, rolling around Stanford, menacing people. Oh, God. You just wish you would have been there to see it. So, no, but, you know, you hear those stories and it's like, come on, man, make it stop. Is it not bad enough? I got blown up and my body's shattered and my brain isn't working right. Now we got to do this like I'm some kind of institutionalized maniac. So, yeah, if you didn't catch that, I would encourage you to go ahead and take a look at it and listen to it yesterday. Should be up by the time you're listening to it. It should be on the website. So check it out. 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 With all that said, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to the spouses of the 2nd Marine Division that showed up last night. Honestly, it is it's very, very cool to be in their company and to listen to the things they have to say. And they are huge advocates of post-traumatic winning. I think, obviously, because they live it. They see it in their spouses and they're concerned. And those who have done it year after year after year, probably more so, because they've seen the cumulative effect of it. So it's dedicated to them and their graciousness as hosts and their attendance. So thank you very much. Keep doing good things. It's dedicated to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the weather here on a Tuesday morning. See what's going around the world of marine weather. Then we'll check the news here on this Tuesday. Currently, it is cloudy and 60 degrees in Quantico as the sun comes up here on the East Coast. It is cloudy and 70 degrees. It was 80 something degrees yesterday here in North Carolina. Yeah, everywhere you go on base, you still see damage from the hurricane. Roofs with plastic on them, all that stuff. cloudy and 70 degrees in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Cloudy and 55 in Granbury, Texas. Sun yet to come up in 29 Palms, but it is clear and 63 degrees. Pendleton is clear and 55. Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 76. The Al-Anbar province of Iraq is warming up. Sunny and 81 degrees. And in Afghanistan, in the Helmand province, sunny and 84 degrees. At the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio, got a little weather going on. Got a gale warning today. Winds gusting up to 45 miles an hour. That'd be 40 knots. Yeah, I learned that yesterday. So there's a wind advisory and a small craft advisory. So all of that going on here on a Tuesday. So don't touch that dial. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. More of All Marine Radio coming up on Tuesday on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
To be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is if you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue, but it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk in to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I'm gonna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah.
Peyton Davis. I got an interesting email in the last couple days that asked me a question. I'll read it to you. Mac, I heard your presentation and I thought it was wonderful. I have a question for you though. Why do you think that men are so biased not to talk about the things that happen to them? Is it just the guy thing? The tough guy thing? Question mark. Keep doing what you do. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, I do. I do think it's the guy thing, and I especially think that, you know, we have, dare I say, bad role models. And I don't. When I say bad, I just mean in terms of they encourage the wrong behavior, which is to not to talk about it. And now, if you ask them about it now, they say, oh, yeah, you got to talk about it. But that's not what they've done. And so, I say in, when I do it, you know, Grandpa fought in World War II. He didn't talk about it. He's at the VFW every day drinking, though. Uncle Larry, he fought in Vietnam. He never talked about it. Uncle Larry, he'd been drunk for 30 years, though. So, and again, those aren't stretches when I say those things, right? Everybody knows that. That's been any part of our culture. People know that. And so, why is that? Why do, whether they be military guys, civilian guys, why do they look at their wives and significant others or whatever, and they say, I can't go there with you, right? Because I love you, I don't want to go there with you. And then be push her away, alienate yourself, isolate yourself. And we know none of that's good. But I think that our examples have never said that. I mean, honestly, this is a watershed. That's why women think it's a trick. Yeah, they straight up think it's a trick. You need to talk about it, and the first person you should talk to is your spouse. And they're like, all right, this is a trick, right? You are going to kidnap us and ship us out of the country, do something, aren't you? So, no, I just, our role models and what is emphasized in our culture is being tough and whatnot is, so since that's not possible with these kind of issues, Okay. You're forced to fake it. And that's what we do. We fake like we're healthy. And again, if you can, you know, and I don't know why, but when I talk about that, I think of Carl Marlantis, the recipient of the Navy Cross. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He's a writer. He's written a couple books. One is called Matterhorn, A Piece of Faction. So based on factual events, but written as fiction. And then you might call it fiction, but it's based in his life experience, so. Historical fiction, something like that. Anyway, you get the idea. And then he wrote a second book, What It's Like to Go to War. And so when you listen to Carl talk, he says that he never related his anger and his behavior to the war, right? He recognized that if he would get startled in the night, his reactions were due to the war, but he didn't link his anger and the change in his moods to the war. And his second wife suggested that he go see a behavioral health person at some expo that his company was putting on, or that was going on in the community or something like that. So he did. And he sits down with the guy, and the guy, you know, and he says, I struggle with anger and, you know, some other issues. And the guy looks at him and he said, were you ever in the military? He says, yeah. He said, were you in Vietnam? And he said, yeah. He said, and then I started crying. I couldn't stop. He said, it was the first time I ever linked it to my service. He said, my wife had to come down and get me. And so it was real interesting to hear him talk about that. But, and his role models were guys who fought in World War II. I mean, they just, as you heard here in the opening, right? Don't let the monkeys out of the cage. That was the mental health advice of the day. Don't let the monkeys out of the cage. Because if you do, you know, they run all over the place and they ruin your life and other people's lives. So you got to keep them in the cage. And, you know, that was mental health advice that people got. So, long-winded answer to your question is I think it is the way we're raised, our role models, especially if you gravitate towards the military and the Marine Corps. I mean, you want to be a strong leader. But we have to get over this. A strong leader is a stoic and is dying inside. What we have to get to the point is a strong leader maintains him or herself, and you maintain yourself in this life that's going to be filled with trauma by disclosing it, by talking about it, and keeping your mind as healthy as you keep your body. So and it's going to take time. It's going to take time with senior people getting up and talk about it. And I'll tell you what. Joe Furness does a great job, and I've said this before, but I don't say this because he's my friend. He's a good public speaker. He has a feel for it, and he knows how to talk to Marines. And it's cool. It's cool to watch him do it. So I enjoy that. Anyway, all right, we'll take a look at the news today, and there's a bunch of it. I thought I'd start with the Navy Times, not with Navy Times, with Stars and Stripes. Because Stars and Stripes breaks a lot of stories, right? So I'll cover the top few stories in Stars and Stripes today. I mean, Stars and Stripes is, I think, more and more, they get on my radar for breaking news and telling, you know, important stories. Anyway. First headline, car bomb kills 3 U.S. service members and 1 contractor outside of Bagram airfield. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack, stating on Twitter that the suicide car bombing destroyed 1 armored vehicle and killed or injured several foreign troops. Second story in Stars and Stripes is deployment of the USS Wasp. F-35 Bravos shows the U.S. commitment to the Philippines, according to its commander. So they're doing the Balakatan exercise down in the region. So the Navy's amphibious squadron participating in those drills. So that's going on today. Next story, Navy identifies sailor as a gunman killed during the domestic dispute at Naval Air Station Oceana. That's going on. And then this story from the Kansas National Guard. I'm tired of watching it happen. Kansas National Guard captain submits resignation over the handling of suicides. A captain in the Kansas National Guard that experienced several suicides in 6 months said she has submitted a letter of resignation after concerns about the issue weren't taken seriously enough by leadership. It's interesting, when I talk to people, their perception of what, I will tell you this, there's people that won't listen to post-traumatic winning, that won't have it near them because of what people senior them have said. Oh, you're taking too much of a risk, oh this, oh that. No, I kid you not. And so this is part of the institutional, you know, and again, I'm not sticking my neck out. I might not get promoted. All right. The National Guard has a higher suicide rate than other branches of the military, including active duty soldiers, a report from the DOD said. However, Kansas National Guard has a lower rate than guards in many other states, according to Major Jason Davey. Major General Lee Tafanelli said the Kansas National Guard has had 9 suicides in the past 5 years, 3 of which were in the past 18 months. Additionally, a civilian who worked in the Guard's behavioral health department died by suicide last summer. And a man who had just been discharged earlier this year also committed suicide. Their deaths are not included in the official numbers. So, the captain that submitted her resignation, right, her name is Tara Fields. She served in the National Guard for 12 years, 8 on active duty. She joined the Kansas National Guard just over a year ago as the behavioral health officer. Field said she has been vocal about trying to make changes, but her efforts were met with complacency. This is not how we treat our soldiers, Field said. I'm tired of watching it happen. On August 13th, she didn't get a response from a soldier she was concerned about. I'm just like panicking, she recalled. Field said she alerted guard officials. She was at her Leavenworth home with her husband and 4 children, as she anxiously awaited a response. Minutes turned into hours, and Fields said she didn't hear anything. She said she was sobbing, spiraling into depression, and contemplating what it would take to get leadership's attention. I snapped, Fields says. I hit a level of rage I didn't think was freaking possible. Concerned for her well-being, her husband called authorities. At the hospital, she thought about killing herself, going as far as wrapping a cord around her neck. She was hospitalized for about a week. Once she was released, she was considered a high-risk soldier. Now, she's the behavioral health person. That experience, she said, shed further light on how soldiers are treated and the gaps that exist. Wow. Yeah, no bueno when the behavioral health people. Let me just tell you this. I had somebody tell me in the last 2 weeks the behavioral health people, some of them that saw post-traumatic winning, said it was too much for them. What? That's what they said. What? Too much? This is your business. These are anecdotes. And it was too much. So, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So that's a look at the headline in Stars and Stripes. All right, some Marine Corps news. Umbrellas, silver earrings, and new ponytail options. These are all changes the Marine Corps is contemplating. Uniform Board always does interesting stuff every year. Some of the changes include umbrellas for male Marines. Like what? Ponytails, so the umbrella is going to be part of your uniform now? Ponytails for medium-length hair, silver earrings in dress uniforms, a standard dress blue waistplate for sergeants and below. What's a waistplate? I don't even know what that is. I was thinking it was like a cummerbund, but that would only be for mess dress. A standard dress blue waistplate for sergeants and below. So waistplate, is that a belt? So it'd be, look like they'd look have the same look as officers with that, and that only senior Marines, so staff sergeant above, would wear the white waistplate? Is that what that is? I don't even know what that is. All right. So what's the background on these potential changes? Women have been authorized to carry or use a small black umbrella with their dress or service uniform. Now the Marine Corps is allowing men to do the same. Oh, my God. Really? Are we going there? You have to have a uniform regulation that says, look, if it's raining, do I care if they say I can have the umbrella? I don't know. And the Marine Corps, the Corps says there have been multiple requests seeking to amend the current regulations to allow men to carry or use umbrellas in their dress or service uniform. Good God. On the issue of hair regulation for women, which is always really interesting, the Marine Corps is considering a couple of changes to allow women with medium-length hair participating in organized fitness training to wear a half ponytail and requiring long hair to be worn properly secured up when the Marine is wearing the camouflage utility blouse, even for fitness or martial arts training. The Corps says that unsecured ponytails are authorized for fitness training and that medium and short hair can be worn down, but there has been some confusion as to whether or not medium length hair can be pulled back into a ponytail. Oh my God. This is pretty complicated shit, man. One of the changes also recommends allowing Marines with medium length hair who are wearing the utility blouse for fitness training to wear their hair in a half ponytail. I guess. All right, whatever. Another recommendation change is to allow women to wear silver earrings in their service uniform. Currently, women can only wear gold earrings in their service and dress blue uniform, pearl earrings with the blue-white dress uniform, and pearl or diamond earrings in the evening dress uniform. In another change being considered, the Corps is considering the standard non-commissioned officer's waistplate for dress blue uniform. Oh, that's the brass thing in front? That depicts the Eagle Globe and Anchor, or EGA, for sergeants and below. Currently, Marines with the rank of E1 to E3 wear a plain gold plate with their blues, and corporals and sergeants wear a waist plate that depicts the EGA. Recruits earn the title Marine upon completion of the Crucible, where the Marine Corps emblem is placed in their hand. Why then do they have to wait till they are promoted to corporal to wear the emblem on their belt? Woo. You know what? Not a bad point. Now, I'm okay with the blood stripe, but the emblem? Do you rate that or not? I'm trying to think of other times that you're emblem deprived. Yeah, don't emblem shame me. What's wrong with you? So, I don't know that I have a problem with that. So there you go, have it. The uniform board, always the craziest stuff in the world. The earrings things, man, come on. That's like, and the hair thing, that's complicated. Like, I don't even want to go near that. I don't understand it. Okay? I think it needs to be worn, like, buttoned down. As long as you're buttoned down, as long as it looks, it's too complicated for me. Somebody tell me what it's supposed to be. Is that in regulation or outside of regulation? Pretty complicated shit, man. Pretty complicated shit. Next headline, how bloody, this is by Sean Snow, how bloody K-Bar knife fight during the Vietnam War got this Marine and Navy Cross 52 years later. Lance Corporal James Stogner was an 18-year-old Marine ammo humper serving with a machine gun team in Vietnam. On the evening of April 5th, 1967, as the sun set, Stogner and machine gunner Corporal Eli Fobbs, along with another Marine assigned to Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 9th Marines, known as the Walking Dead, were tasked to push across a tree line and hedgerow towards a village suspected of hiding North Vietnamese Army or NVA troops. At that time, 1-9 operating up near the DMZ. On the mission, NVA troops were lying in wait to ambush the Marines. As darkness fell, illumination rounds lit up the night sky, revealing some enemy positions. A sudden quick burst from Stogner's rifle took out 3 NVA soldiers, but return fire smacked Stogner's rifle, slamming him in the face and breaking his nose. Wounded, Stogner dropped into the prone position as a grenade and mortar rounds exploded all around him. As the illumination rounds died out, much of his platoon had been killed or wounded, cut down by enemy fire. Enemy troops pushed across the field, killing wounded Marines and taking their equipment. Stogner, armed with his K-bar knife, low crawled through the dark near his fellow comrades and managed to kill 3 NVA troops with his knife. But Fobbs, Stogner's machine gunner, was captured and dragged into the vegetation across the NVA entrenched position. Stogner continued to crawl and moved undetected towards Fobbs' screams, where he found 4 NVA soldiers kicking and abusing his comrade. Stogner killed one of the NVA troops quietly with his K-bar. As the enemy soldier moved towards vegetation Stogner was hiding in, and a second NVA soldier was killed in similar fashion. With 2 NVA soldiers remaining, Stogner stormed the position armed with his knife, thrusting it into one of the men's chest as hand-to-hand combat ensued. All 4 NVA troops were killed as Stogner slung Fobbs over his shoulder, grabbed his M60 machine gun, carrying him to friendly lines through a hail of gunfire and grenade explosion. These are some of the details laid out in the lengthy summary of action of Stogner's heroic actions, which were attained by Marine Corps times. For his heroism under fire, Stogner was finally awarded the Navy Cross nearly 52 years later. His valor that fateful night was lost for nearly a half century before he was finally awarded the nation's second highest award for combat bravery in a ceremony last Friday. The award ceremony was attended by 400 people, including men who survived the ordeal with Stogner. Stogner told Marine Corps Times in an interview that he was relieved and glad it was over. The award, like many other veterans during the Vietnam War, was lost due to battlefield chaos and bureaucratic red tape. Shortly following his battlefield heroism, Stogner says his selection, his section team, pinned an award recommendation on a food ration box commonly carried by Marines in the field, which was forwarded to his platoon commander. But his platoon commander, soon thereafter, stepped on a landmine. Paperwork just got lost in the shuffle, Stogner said. Just 2 months later, the entire command group was wiped out when a rocket came through the door of the bunker, Stogner added. Following a reunion in 2006, men who served with Stogner became aware he'd never received a medal for his actions, and an effort was launched to recognize his valor. According to documents obtained by Marine Corps Times, Stogner was considered for the Medal of Honor, but appears to have at least been partially denied because of the lack of two eyewitness statements. I was going to say that. Many of the Marines had been killed during the battle. None appeared to have witnessed Stogner crawling through the dark of night, but neither did the enemy, who Stogner made quick work of with his issued Marine knife. The sole witness to the event was Fobbs. An effort was made to waive the requirement for two eyewitness statements. After nearly a nine-year effort, Stogner's Navy Cross was approved. General Labuti attended the ceremony held in Montana, pinned on his Navy Cross. How about that? Hello. That's some serious stuff, man. I've got to track that guy down and get him on All Marine Radio, eh? I think so. Let's look at the top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, car bomb kills three U.S. troops and a contractor in Afghanistan. Killed outside of Bagram. This is by an IED. The Taliban said it was a vehicle-borne IED. So vehicles are sketchy, right? And all that this is the announcement and saying that three U.S. service members and one contractor were killed by an IED Monday near Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. So Taliban say it's a suicide bomber. Listen to this story. Number two, Anderson Air Force Base used pesticidal pool chlorinator in the drinking water, the Guam EPA found out. Anderson Air Force Base in Guam has been fined by the territory's EPA for using pool chlorinization tabs that were classified as a pesticide to sanitize some of its drinking water. Anderson said in a release Saturday that it had used pool-time chlorination tabs to sanitize the water in a 500,000-gallon storage tank, which provided water to facilities in its northwest field. But those chlorinization tablets have been classified by Guam's EPA as a pesticide. The base stopped using them as soon as they found out. You know what? We're not supposed to have stupid people handling chemicals. You know what? I mean, that's just me. Next headline. SEAL skipper defends restrictions on special warfare chief freed by Trump. In a Monday letter sent to Philip Stackhouse, one of Gallagher's, so this is about Chief Edward Gallagher, whose incarceration was modified by the president. He had been awaiting his court-martial trial in the brig, right? In a Monday letter sent to Philip Stackhouse, one of Gallagher's civilian attorneys, Naval Special Warfare Group 1 Commodore Captain Matthew Rosenblum outlined and defended the measures he ordered Gallagher to follow. Gallagher 39 is authorized to possess only an iPod Nano and an iPod Shuffle to listen to music. The SEAL is forbidden to use any device that connects to the Internet or has Bluetooth capability, Rosenblum wrote. Gallagher will be provided telephone privilege to call his immediate family and his attorneys, and they're also allowed to visit him at Marine Corps Air Station Miramar, but any requests for better food or accommodations off of the San Diego military base are denied. The command has and will continue to ensure Special Operations Chief, I think that's what SOC stands for, Gallagher receives three meals a day. The order is a restriction order, not an entitlement order. Rosenblum assures Stackhouse that he's following the President March 30 order to move Gallagher from the Naval Consolidation Brig Miramar to less restrictive conditions. At the same time, Rosenblum claims in his letter to have the authority under the latest rule of court-martial to articulate just how free the SEAL can be before his court-martial, which is scheduled to begin on May 28th at the Naval Base in San Diego. So it goes, that drama continues. The Iran's President Rouhani defends the Iranian Republican Guards, saying that the United States branding them a terrorist organization is a mistake. That the true terrorists on the planet are the American. Quote, the guards have sacrificed their lives to protect our people. Our revolution, today America, that holds a grudge against the guards, blacklists the guards, he said in a speech. Rouhani called the U.S. decision a mistake, and other Iranian officials have warned that it will endanger American interest in the region, where Iran is involved in proxy wars from Syria to Lebanon to Yemen. So, number one shit disturber, Iran. Last story in the early bird is military aviation getting any safer? New mishap data shows mixed results. Manned aviation accidents have had spiked almost 40% over the past 5 years, killing 133 service members in 2013. More catastrophic crashes followed, and Congress got laser-focused on the problem. After multiple hearings, lawmakers injected $39.4 billion in last year's budget to begin to overcome the crisis in military aviation by getting more aircraft in the air. Capitol Hill also passed legislation creating a National Commission on Military Aviation Safety. No one expected a quick fix. The 2013 budget cuts, known as sequestration, had contributed to a hollowing of the maintainer force. You know what? The whole sequestration thing is part of this. Another part of it is service decisions by service chiefs to fly manned aviation, doing armed reconnaissance on a daily basis instead of using drones, wore out our air platforms. Okay? And then they expected the F-35 to be delivered on time when no aircraft in history has ever been delivered on time. So we're going to wear them out early. The maintenance pipelines are going to dry up, in part because of sequestration. You couldn't plan, you couldn't keep these people around. And some of them are what are called artisans, right? They're working very specialized aircraft and doing I don't want to say retrofit, but they're doing depot level maintenance. So the aircraft comes in, it gets rewired, right? It gets, completely overhauled. And it's very specialized work. Well, when you can't keep those people around because of sequestration, and that maintenance pipeline dries up or gets very, very long, then you don't have aircraft available to train. And that's the situation the United States has found itself and continues to find itself in. And so, no bueno. And Congress is to blame for much of it. The whole sequestration thing that went on for years is bad. Absolutely unacceptable. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear from Jeff Kenney. He's going to join us. He had a chance to see post-traumatic winning in a way that he's never seen it before yesterday. So we'll get his thoughts on that on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. right here on your home for it, broadcasting in the expeditionary mode from Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. So don't touch that dial. More of this fine program coming up next on a Tuesday on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good. The past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.